X Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Easter brings the promise of one day of peace after 3 years of war. Russian President Putin offering a Sunday ceasefire in Ukraine. Bill Clinton was president April 19, 1995, when a domestic terrorist targeted the federal building in Oklahoma City with a bomb that killed 168 people. This morning, Mr. Clinton delivered the keynote on the site where the building once stood.
I know over the last 30 years, you are probably managing your losses better, but I know the pain has never gone away.
U.S. Supreme Court, in an emergency ruling, stops the Trump administration from using the Alien Enemies Act to deport people. On the same day, more migrants in a Texas detention facility were due to be flown out.
The ACLU says they're relieved by this move and that, quote, these men were in imminent danger of spending their lives in a horrific foreign prison without ever having had a chance to go to court.
Selena Wang reporting. This is ABC News. The first shot of the American Revolution 250 years ago this morning in Lexington, Mass. And neighboring Concord. Reenactors heard this 21-gun salute this morning from part of the U.S. Army 101st Fuel Artillery Regiment. Tens of thousands expected to gather in both locations for ceremonies. The Navy canceling podcaster and author Ryan Holiday from speaking at its academy in Annapolis, saying it wanted to steer clear of politics. Holiday planned to reference the U.S. Naval Academy's recent decision to pull books from its library. The Navy asked him to omit the reference, and he refused. The New York Auto Show is a bit scaled down this year, kind of matching the mood of carmakers going into next month, wondering if these shiny new vehicles will be dinged by Trump administration 25% industry tariffs. Cox Automotive says consumers were out in force last month, scooping up trucks, cars, SUVs. Month-over-month sales ahead 29.6%. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A new study shows extreme weather disproportionately affects small farms, and Wisconsin has thousands. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Researchers at the University of Illinois studied milk production records from 9 Midwest dairy farms. Considering both temperature and humidity when measuring extreme heat, they found farms lose about 1% of milk yield annually because of heat stress, while smaller farms lose closer to 2%. Study co-author Marin Skidmore says when cows are in extreme heat, it can cause increased restlessness and risk of infection and decreased appetite, which reduces milk yield and impacts bottom lines.
To some extent, it's only 1.6%, but if you're really making every dollar from your paycheck count because you're living in a time with high costs, then 1.6% of your paycheck being gone in a given year is meaningful.
The study predicts extreme heat days to be more frequent in years to come and milk yield losses to increase about 30% in the next 25 years. The Midwest tends to have smaller dairy farms compared with other states, with herds ranging from 100 to 200 cows. Researchers say being able to track and compare daily milk yields across a large region with similar climates has never been done before. Skidmore says their findings suggest that larger herds seem to have some level of protection to extreme heat compared with smaller farms, which start to see impacts of heat stress at lower thresholds. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, a high near 56. Partly cloudy, lows around 36 tonight. Showers are likely for Sunday with a high near 55. Showers may be a rumble of thunder Sunday night, a low near 41. Showers likely Monday, 55 degrees.
Right now, it's 49.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival program director Kirsten Larson and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, you are tuned in to 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest. Yes, I do get it from my mama, my intelligence, my looks, my good skin, my good hair, all this, you know, beauty that ends up being so demure. I get it from my mama. So thank you for joining us today. I'm super excited for the conversations. I love talking to y'all. I just want you to know that. It's so therapeutic for me. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I needed to get that off my chest. I kind of vomited on Facebook a couple days ago. Please feel free to check me out in the moments where I vomit. It's okay. We all need to vomit sometimes. I'm older, so I only use Facebook. I'm trying to get into this Instagram and TikTok thing that my younger folks keep telling me that's where it's at. But apparently we're about to lose TikTok again. So who knows? But if you're new to the Black Conversion Show, welcome. I appreciate you tuning in. Today, as always, we're going to talk about politics and tea. A lot of the conversation is centered around the Black experience. Get it? Black conversion, Black experience, me being Black, Brandi Grayson. It all works out. Okay. All right. And of course, I have my producer, one of my favorite producers, Luke. He is in the house. So as always, we're just going to do a quick check-in. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's hard to believe it's already April, but it's flying by, and I'm excited for spring, and I'm excited that we don't have to see any more political ads for a while here in the state of Wisconsin.
Amen, because I get another text. I'm about to fall out. Another call. I'm like, okay, I get it. Okay.
Is that what caused the vomit earlier this week?
No.
Okay. All right. It would have caused the vomit for me, maybe. My wife was sick of him. She was like, and she started getting them still after the election from like other places. I don't know how her phone number, like from Ohio and somewhere else in the country too. She's still getting political texts. She's like, what did I do to deserve this? I was like, I don't know.
They need to improve their AI bots. Because come on now, you know I'm over here in Wisconsin. You calling about somebody else's elections.
Exactly. And they never text her like her name either, though. It's always like Mark or like Frank or something like that.
Right, right.
And
I'm
like,
the wrong person.
Wrong person altogether that they're texting. She's like, I don't know how to get my number back.
Yeah,
like,
I am not Daryl. Okay, but thanks.
Exactly.
Receipt. Yeah, I'm so over it. I'm so glad it's over. We're going to talk about local elections today. All the wins, all the losses, and some of the close elections. Like, I don't even think they've called it yet on some of the city council runs because I believe there was another close call in a couple of districts. So we'll talk about that. I mean, like one or two votes, close calls. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the referendum that was on the ballot that I was telling people to say no, vote no, but people voted yes, so it passed. So we're going to talk about the impact and why
American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU.
Yeah, there you go. They had petitioned and was advertising and marketing for people to say no as well. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Today, we'll also talk about 50 Cent and how he was trying to get his people to sell out against themselves. Like, I want to be rich one day, but what I don't want to do is forget where I come from and what, you know, why we do what we do and why it's important to stay connected to the people. Like, I think he's so rich that he no longer has a reference for being a young black man surviving poverty, and his, and kind of like Snoop Dogg, and, you know, and what's that dude named Nelly, who we used to love, and we were so into his, him and Ashanti's love story. Now we're boycotting them. Okay. And can we just point out, these are black men who are encouraging, like, I don't even know the word for it. Is there a word for it? Encouraging BS, like encouraging trumpety dumpety things, and encouraging things that have a negative impact on their community and people known as black. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today too, but let me check in. So how am I doing here on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM? I am doing okay. Your host is with the mostest. It's been a really weird couple weeks. You know, I vomited a couple times, as I said before. I just, sometimes y'all, I get so frustrated with the scrutiny and the attack of people known as black, and specifically me, the person also black and known as black, and someone who's doing, I believe, amazing work and good work in Dane County, the greater Dane County area, serving all people, all populations, doing homeless outreach, rental assistance, supporting collaborations, building bridges, advocacy, education. We do agriculture. We just do a whole lot of things. So most recently this week, okay, y'all, let me tell y'all a little tea. I don't know if the story has dropped yet, but as I've said to you guys multiple times before, there are certain people who have made it their business to destroy urban triage, or at least try to, right? Made it their business to petition the Dane County, to petition the city council to investigate urban triage, to prove that some way that we're not doing what we say that we're doing, and specifically financial and other ways. So most recent debacle is urban triage is being investigated along with Dane County Human Services for, I'm not quite sure, the journalist didn't make it quite clear to me what the investigation was about. I also want to say that the journalist who did the interview, I actually liked them. I don't know what that's going to translate into as it relates to our article. Because sometimes I think I'm vibing with a journalist and then I read it and I'm like, holy crap, what is this? You know?
just shocked and a little blindsided? Yeah.
Yeah, because they're so nice and so like, and that's part of like the, I would call it the Pleasantville, like the Madison, Wisconsin sunken place where people make you feel like they are hearing you, seeing you, listening to you, and they got your back. And then they turn around and do something opposite of that. And you're just unsure of how you didn't read it or unsure of how that happened. So I want to just frame that I like the journalist and I hope he heard what I said and that he doesn't, you know, reframe it in a way that makes it juicy, you know, like good news, you know, because that's what Cap Times did. So anyway, I digress on the Black Conversion Show, which you will find that I often do. So let's get into the why it was a vomit for me on Facebook, because I was just really frustrated with the conversation, right? So anyway, there's an investigation against Dane County Human Services and how they executed a contract with Urban Triage. Like, mind you, you guys, we have multiple contracts. We've had multiple contracts over the last few years with Dane County Human Services, and Dane County Human Services is one of our strongest partners. And when I say strongest partners, what I'm really referring to is that they always have been supportive of our work. Like the contract managers, the administrators, they are very good at hearing and seeing what we do and how we do, and taking in consideration of how we as experts in the work would like to execute in the work, if that makes sense. And they respect it. So they're never, ever trying to make us fit in a box. They're like, okay, how do you think we can best meet this goal or deliverable? And then they listen. They say, okay, let's do it that way. Let's try it. And that's what makes them one of our strongest partners. So what occurs, though, in translation, when I say strongest partner, some of our trolls go about and say, well, strongest partner, that's because they're in cahoots and they're hiding things that Urban Triage are doing illegally. So there's been all these investigative, I don't know what to call it, things. So a lot of open records requests, a lot of audit requests, a lot of like, let's prove that Urban Triage is not doing what they need to do. So most recently, Channel 3, based on either it was Sean Burke, who also ran for local city council and lost big time to Sabrina Madison. So shout out to Sabrina Madison. I'm so glad you whooped his but in the elections. And another troll is Nino Omanto. He also ran. And I think he lost.
But I'm not sure if that's one of the close races. I'm going to look at the numbers and talk about it. But either him or Sean Burke, you know, did some open records requests on urban triage. And in the open records request, they found that we had some discrepancies. Oh, my God. And we had discrepancies in our RFP proposal. So the RFP, for folks who do not know, is request for proposals. So when you write a grant, they say, hey, we need services for this. Please answer these questions. So urban triage responds, answered some questions. And they found discrepancies in two areas. One, our resumes. They were not okay with the fact that one of our ex-employees, who was actually a contractor, said that they worked for the Boys and Girls Club longer on their resume than they actually did. So I guess they looked at all the resumes and then compared it to LinkedIn. So then LinkedIn said one thing and the resume that the staff person submitted said another. So this is the thing, y'all, that really isn't a big deal, right? Because people lie on their resumes all the time. And I'm not calling the person a liar. I'm just saying this is what they said, right? And I don't care. Like, we don't go to resumes and go improve each thing for employees. It's just we look at resumes. Are you qualified? We call people and do reference checks. But this particular person wasn't an actual employee. They was a contractor. So we never verified a resume. Like, you don't verify that for contractors. So that's a discrepancy that they found. And another discrepancy they found that they were not okay with is because in the narrative I stated, Urban Triage, I, Brandi Grayson, oversaw a $20 million budget, which was correct. It wasn't an annual budget, you know. So in 21 or 22, I don't know, one of those years, Urban Triage received $12 million from Dane County to do CORE. A few months later, like 5-6 months later, we received another $8 million or $10 million. I think it might have been $10 million to continue CORE, right? So in total, we had over a $20 million budget. So when I wrote the grant, I said that, like, I can manage, you know, Urban Triage is fiscally responsible. We have internal risk controls. Our CEO is known to operate a $20 million budget. So he found a problem with that and wanted to know why I lied. And I was like, that I did not lie. This is a budget. I look at our, you know, tax paperwork and our budgets or whatever, you know. And he was like, oh, I understand. So then the other thing that he was investigating that was a discrepancy is that on the resume or on the in the narrative, I said that Urban Triage has been around since 2016. He was not happy with that because he said, well, Urban Triage officially started in 2019. And I said, yeah, that's when we officially became a nonprofit. But Urban Triage has been doing community work for years, since like 2014. But the form said 2016, but we actually been doing work since 2014. And then he went on my LinkedIn and it says 2018. And he was like, where's the discrepancies? I said, well, shoot, when I was setting up the LinkedIn, I probably just guessed the date. I wasn't thinking about it, right? And then he was like, well, officially, you did not start in 2016. I said, well, officially, I was doing eviction prevention, crowdfunding, advocacy, education. And that's how we became a nonprofit, because United Way heard of our work and said, hey, I heard of your work. You're doing great work. We would like to fund your work. You should think about coming a nonprofit. And that's what happened. That's how the birth of Urban Triage occurred. So anyway, I vomited on Facebook because I was upset and frustrated with how people see us, how they want to find an issue with Urban Triage. And when we return, we're going to talk about why this keep occurring and how this connects with Jasmine Crockett, a representative from Texas who's now under investigation, who is threatened to face charges for what she says and how she says it and how they're saying she's violent. That's very telltale about how people see Black women and Black people, period. We have so much politics and tea. Let's talk about local elections. It's going to be good. So as always, you want to continue to listen because you know you like the mess and you like what I say, because you wouldn't be tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM if you didn't. So stay tuned, y'all. I'll be back in a jiff. Your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson.
You can't touch my back, but you could. I look fly. Good.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, Luke. You know I like this song. You know I got that old lady swag. Okay, you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM, WMDX with your girl, BG. BG is short for Brandi Grayson, by the way. Okay, we're back at the Black Conversion Show where the politics and tea happens locally. You know, I like politics. Not really, but I seem to find myself there all the time. So anyway, prior to break, before we had to take sponsorship break, prior to break, we were talking about just checking in and my frustration and vomiting. So what I was pointing out is the scrutiny that Urban Triage, a nonprofit direct service provider here in the Dane County Greater Madison area, me, CEO and founder of it, the scrutiny that we have to go through all the time is so exhausting. It takes so much staff time to respond to the scrutiny, to the open records requests, to the audits. It's a lot, y'all. And I promise you, is more than any nonprofit in the area has to go through. So I was just identifying this investigation report that Channel 3 is doing. And Jason, the guy, the journalist who's doing the report, I liked him. I don't know how I was going to, you know, he seemed to understand what I said. And I talked about intent and impact and how the investigation really isn't about Dane County, because he was like, we just wanted to investigate government, make sure that they're not cutting. Because there was something about the contract where Dane County amended the contract to make it pass or something. I don't know. I don't know the technicalities of it, but it was like two programs under one contract. So then they did a piece of the contract for a few months to get the contract out there. I don't know the details, but I'm not responsible for how contracts are executed. You know, I'm just responsible for delivering on the contracts. And I had explained to him that the only reason this is being investigated and then is because of us, not because of Dane County. No one cares about Dane County like that, you know. And then he had questions about some discrepancies. So we went over that before break. So I just want to say that, like, I was a little frustrated because being attacked or being scrutinized all the time when you know you're doing good work and you know that you live up to what you say you're doing and you do extraordinary work, it's hard sometimes. It's hard. It's challenging to be the extraordinary, exceptional Negro here in Dane County and then being questioned when you show up and be the exceptional Negro, right? Because if I was mediocre, you guys would talk about that. If I'm exceptional, you'll talk about that. So what I want to talk about is white privilege today and how that same way of scrutinizing Urban Triage shows up everywhere in our world. We know it's not just us. I know it's not me as a Black woman, just, oh, poor me, Brandi Grayson. It is the foundation of what white supremacy is based on. Y'all do this all the time. Currently, you are doing it to Jasmine Crockett, a representative out of Texas who's a bad girl, okay? Bad in terms of, because y'all be getting our words twisted. Y'all do not understand Black people's speech, and that's half of the problem here, okay? So when I say bad girl, I mean in a positive way. Like, she is bad, meaning that she doesn't care. She's speaks truth to power. She's powerful. She's unmovable. She's unstoppable. She's intelligent. She's articulate. And she has degrees to back it, because God knows y'all need degrees to validate Black people intelligence. Okay. And she has all of those things. So anyway, most recently, she's in the Capitol, you know, doing her being fly. And can we just talk about how fly she always is, from head to toe, her makeup, her hair, girl, you is all that. Shout out to you, Jasmine Crockett. So anyway, she's in the Capitol, the building, walking, minding her Black Black Beautiful Business, as we often do. And here y'all go. Mr. Mega Reporters wanted to antagonize because y'all love antagonizing Black people. So she's walking down the Capitol being as happy and friendly as she can be, smiling, her hair bouncing, flowing in the wind. Amen. And here come you, whatever his name is, insinuating that she had she supports violence against Elon Musk because in a past interview, she had made a statement that it's old. She was like, it's March 29th. It's my birthday. I am hoping my gift for my birthday would be taking down Elon Musk. So this mega reporter comes back and says, oh, Jasmine, Representative Jasmine. So you support violence against Elon Musk. You support. Matter of fact, let's just play the clip. So I ain't got to make it up right quick. Luke, go ahead. Play the quick clip. Crip.
Hello, Congresswoman.
Horse manure. Well, that sounds like fun.
Wait, Congresswoman Crockett. Congresswoman Crockett, you were recently on a Tesla takedown call calling for violence on the 29th. Would you like to clarify your comments?
As you can see.
Congresswoman, will you condone violence at the Tesla?
So anyway, you see, so he's like, do you condone violence? Nowhere in the conversation did she say anything about violence. She was speaking of the financial and economic impact on Tesla and Musk because of what he was doing. So this reporter is walking with her. You see her laughing in the background. Oh, that sounds fun. Da, 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 da. And he keeps getting louder and closer. So then he gets really close to her and she takes her hand and pushes his camera down. That's what you hear at the end. So now they're claiming assault and want to do, what do you call it, Luke? Criminal charges against her.
Yeah, they're trying to file because this reporter works for the conservative kind of pundit influencer. She's got I don't know what her official title is. She was in the White House this week though, mm-hmm. and she encouraged Trump to fire three national security officials because they weren't loyal enough to him. But Laura Loomer is who this reporter works for, and now Laura Loomer is insinuating that the congresswoman assaulted her journalist, and that he should file charges.
Right. Just, y'all, this is what anti-Blackness looks like. It's like no matter what we say out our mouth is violent. Oh, you're saying, you know, be violent against Musk. You're declaring violence. And this is a very similar to me that happened here locally in Madison, Wisconsin. So back in the day when my knees allowed me to, I was out in the streets and the communities protesting, organizing for Black Lives Matter. And before the murder of Tony Robinson happened, I was at the city council and I said out my mouth, if you guys don't do something about the police violence towards Black people in Dane County, something's going to happen. One of your police officers is going to harm a Black person and the blood will be on your hands. So the blood that would be on your hands was taken. That was the soundbite, right? And the newspaper said, and the flyer said, and everybody said, Brandi Grayson incites violence in Madison, Wisconsin. What? Where did I incite violence? Okay, so anyway, so for people known as Black, what it looks like for us to speak truth to power, it is perceived because of whiteness and white supremacy and racism as violent. If you are like me, if you, y'all know me, if you like me, you move with your hands. You see how I talk? If y'all see me on Facebook, I know you on the radio can't see me, but the folks who see me on the podcast and the recording, YouTube and other, I talk with my hands. I'm very, very, I don't know, animated, some people want to say. I think that's a great word for it. And that animation can also be perceived as violent or aggressive. Oh my God, I fear for my life. Oh my God, Brandi, you're so aggressive. And even when I'm smiling, right? I can smile and be like, hey, not today, Karen. I just don't want to. Oh my God, Brandi is so violent. I am afraid of her. She's a bully. Oh, matter of fact, that's what the reporter said the other day, too. He said when he was talking to community leaders and asked about urban triage, community leaders said, you know, we don't like to talk about Brandi Grayson because she gets on Facebook and we don't want our name. You know, she will talk. She will, you know, she will smear us. So the fact of the matter is you are so right. I will, because I don't care. I have nothing to lose. And the one thing I'm always going to do is speak truth to power. And I'm darn sure going to always speak my truth. And in this current context, and always been, is that it's never been okay to speak your truth, even though we live in the free country. What you have to do is speak your truth, but just down it down a little bit. That's what they say. Use words that's not so, it does, that's not uncomfortable. Don't say white supremacy. Say implicit bias, because that feels better for me as a white person. So that's how, you know, that's just how we have to kind of navigate. And this person, Brandi Grayson, I'm not navigating that. Whatever I think I'm going to say, I am working on being more, you know, coof. I guess that's the word. But stay tuned because I got some more politics for your butt here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with me, Brandi Grayson.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Easter brings the promise of one day of peace after 3 years of war. Russian President Putin offering a Sunday ceasefire in Ukraine. Bill Clinton was president April 19, 1995, when a domestic terrorist targeted the federal building in Oklahoma City with a bomb that killed 168 people. This morning, Mr. Clinton delivered the keynote on the site where the building once stood.
I know over the last 30 years, you are probably managing your losses better, but I know the pain has never gone away.
U.S. Supreme Court, in an emergency ruling, stops the Trump administration from using the Alien Enemies Act to deport people. On the same day, more migrants in a Texas detention facility were due to be flown out.
The ACLU says they're relieved by this move and that, quote, these men were in imminent danger of spending their lives in a horrific foreign prison without ever having had a chance to go to court.
Selena Wang reporting. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers win their third in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-3 win over the A's at AmFam Field. Caleb Durbin, called up from Nashville, made his major league debut with two hits on four at-bats, a run scored, and a big defensive play from his spot at third base. Game two of this series is tonight. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard, back after just 1 month of treatments for a blood clot in his right leg. Lillard says the early warning signs were not easy to detect.
I mean, I was at dinner, and I could, you know, usually if I have a strain, I could feel it when I walk. You know, I know what that felt like because I was familiar with it. But this, I was at dinner and my leg just felt swollen. You know, it was like super tight. So I think that was the toughest part throughout this entire time was, you know, that first couple of days when I first started to feel it, it was obvious that it was there. You know, I didn't know it was a blood clot. But once I found out that's what it was, I knew what it was, you know, why it was so sore and swollen. And that was kind of what led me to go to the team in the first place because I was just like, this ain't normal, you know.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, a high near 56. Partly cloudy, lows around 36 tonight. Showers are likely for Sunday with a high near 55. Showers may be a rumble of thunder Sunday night, a low near 41. Showers likely Monday, 55 degrees.
It's 48 at our studios.
You can support animals in need in our community when you shop at Dane County Humane Society's thrift stores. Thrift Store West on Watts Road and Thrift Store East on High Crossing Boulevard. Shop gently used and new clothing and accessories, home goods, toys, furniture, and a whole lot more. All proceeds from the Dane County Humane Society's thrift stores support the comfort and care of animals in need across the county. Visit giveshelter.org/thrift for more information.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ready for the Saturday morning tradition that takes you shopping around the Capitol Square in Madison?
Yay!
The Dane County Farmers Market is back for the season. It's the largest production-only farmers market in the country. Here's market manager Jamie Boogle.
The one place you can go in town and buy like 75% of your groceries all from one place that you all know are local. And so having about 20,000 people see your business on a Saturday makes or breaks farmers. I think the market is part of the reason that we have such a strong ecosystem of small farmers in Dane County.
The Market is celebrating its 53rd year. Want to learn more? Go to dcfm.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend news, and Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, will be here to talk about changes coming to the WIAA. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, Lou. I'm coming back from break with a little sauciness. It's so sensual. Make me want to, like, do, like, my little hands and, like, I'm a genie or something. Okay. You are tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, and my guy, Luke, my white producer. I mess with Luke, okay? I think he messed with me too. I'm probably the most blackest experience he's ever had. Am I the most blackest experience you've ever had, Luke?
Not really. I've got
like, how the hell do I answer that?
So I have two cousins that are black. Okay. My aunts adopted them at a young age, and so I grew up with them though, because they're Tori and Austin, and they are 2 years younger than me and 4 years younger than me.
Okay, so you got black cousins, but them black family members.
Yeah.
Were they with black people growing up?
Not really. Okay. And so they straddled a world that is
very hard.
Very difficult to navigate. Yeah. But through the fact of being family members with them, I got to see a lot of how they experienced the world. Mm-hmm. And I had the experiences that they experienced in some instances. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that I walked in their shoes or anything like that.
But you were standing next to them.
But I saw how the world treated them.
Yeah.
And I got to see their reactions to how the world treated them.
Yeah.
And so it's not like a special insight or anything like that, but very early age.
And it is actually an insight, though. It is.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying I'm not special for seeing it that way.
No.
I'm just saying that it gave me a unique perspective from an early on age of how race impacts everything.
Yes. Amen.
And how I could be treated very differently than how they were treated, even though we were both swimming at the same swimming pool. And so, like, having those kind of side-by-side comparisons were really huge, and I think pretty formative from an early age.
Absolutely, especially for white folks. So now you get, like, it helped you shape you to have more open-minded and understanding.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the challenge with being white, per Brandi Grayson, right, is that you actually don't get exposed to other people's experiences. So you live in this box. And you think when people say, well, this is my experience, you're like, oh man, that doesn't happen every time. Or that happens to poor people too, because there's no reference point. There's no personal experience. It's not experiential. It's more conceptual. So we'll talk about that. We always talk about that stuff. But prior to the break, you guys, we were talking about Jasmine Crockett and how these white folks are coming for her, and then I was talking about how white folks always coming for me, and how folks see us as violent even when we're not being violent, because you don't understand the words that come out of our mouth. So I might say something like, what's a good example? I might say, girl, shut your mouth. Oh, girl, she told me to shut my mouth. She bullied, right? Like, no, that's not really, that's kind of shut your mouth. It's like, girl, shut your mouth. Like, that's funny. Like, even when I said that, I understood me. But then I understand that you might not understand me. But I do know that black people who grew up with black people understood that. You see what I'm saying?
It's the same example that you just used with Representative Crockett.
Right.
Where you're like, she's a bad representative. It's like, that, yeah.
That doesn't mean bad, okay? Yeah. I just got to, and the thing about it, when you have people known as black, as friends, associate, it really does help make you more cultured. It actually brings you more swag. It makes you more, not just aware, but it just makes you more flavorful. What I can say is that having Cambodian friends has brightened my life, right? Like, it makes me more flavorful. It makes me more, I don't even have the word. I don't like aware, because it doesn't actually capture what it does for you in terms of shaping how you respond to the world and how you see people. But being exposed to other people's traditions and cultures and ways of being and family interactions, just helps gives you different perspectives. And having different perspectives is super important. And what I would say about the mega people and the Trumpity Dumpities, they have very limited perspectives and very limited personalities and very limited intelligence and aren't very good at critically thinking and putting things together. So that's what I'll say about that. And I'll say in Madison, Wisconsin, we often experience that. And we're going to talk about that in the local elections and the folks who won and the folks that lost. And some of them I'm happy about. And some of them I'm like, oh, shoot. Oh, what does this mean for us here in Madison? Okay. Anyway, let's move on. What I do want to talk about is white privilege. And I have a clip from my homegirl. I follow her. I don't even know her name. I just follow people on Facebook because that's what I do. But here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, it is very important for me to teach you along the way. Not just talk about it, but be about it. I know I am one of your favorite angry Black women. As someone on Facebook pointed out, Becky Friday, in the comment section, she said, I first heard of you from another Black woman who said you was an angry Black woman. So I wanted to address that because sometimes growing up in Madison, Wisconsin, what I have coined as the sunken place, Black people act like white people. And what I mean by that is that their perception of other Black people is rooted in the perception that white people gave them of Black people. Because as Dr. Amos Wilson says in his Miseducation of the Negro, and by the way, Dr. Amos Wilson is a Black psychiatrist. He's no longer with us, but you should study him. You should read his books. Was it Carter G. Wilson, The Miseducation of the Negro? Dr. Amos Wilson wrote I can't remember. I get people confused. But either way, what Carter G. Wilson said in The Miseducation of the Negro, he wrote in 1933, which is still relevant today, is that Black people, the challenge with us is that we want to have proximity to whiteness because we want to not be considered that Black person. And in our desire to have proximity to whiteness, we get white education, we go to white academia, and in it, we learn white ways. And then what we also learn, but unconsciously, is to move away from Black people, Black traditions, Black communities. It's like our hope, I'm going to buy a house in the suburbs and move away from them people and stuff because I'm not those kind of Black people. So in Madison, Wisconsin, that is very poignant here. It's everywhere all the time. Black people want to disassociate themselves with certain Black people because it doesn't go along with the look, right, that Madison requires you to have to be the safe Negro. And Brandi Grayson is actually not considered a safe Negro. So the fact that this white woman, who's now my friend, met me in conversation with a Black woman about she's the Black angry woman, it's not surprising because I was actually told that another Black woman who was in a meeting around this charter school that we talked about a few times also say, well, I just don't understand why Brandi has to be so passionate when she speaks, because that comes across aggressively. And that was a Black woman. But a Black woman who is young, who's trying to make her way in Madison, who has been shaped in white education. And my passion shouldn't determine whether or not you listen to me or not. You should actually be like, what is that about that she's saying that's real? Because what people cannot say is that I'm a liar. You can say I'm passionate and I rock with my Black people and I educate people, but a liar I am not. Okay. Anyway, let's go on to white privilege and teach you something real quick. Go ahead with the clip.
This morning, about an hour from where I live, a 14-year-old boy walked into his high school and killed 4 people. And I'm always going to point out a piece of white privilege that we often don't talk about. White folks, do you notice that no matter how often this happens, nobody's having national conversations about how you raise your children? Notice how there's no Stop the Violence commercials on your TV? National news outlets are not going to take footage from the aftermath of the shooting and then put it right beside statistics about absent white fathers in the home. Nonprofits aren't walking into your children's schools teaching them how to dress for success so that they don't pick up guns. No podcast episodes about how white moms are responsible for all of the ills of their sons. Not a single unlicensed, uncertified motivational speaker is going to go viral on the internet for yelling at a group of young white adults and telling them that the reason why violence persists in their communities is because they're not motivated enough to succeed. If we go to school with our hair not done for too many days, somebody is in the back corner whispering, "Where is that child's mom?" Apparently the boy that shot up this school was chronically absent. Did anybody assume that that was because nobody at home cared about his education? Listen, I'm not on my revenge arc. I'm not saying that happened to Black moms, so it has to happen to everybody else as well. I'm saying white people should reckon with the fact that that's not happening and ask themselves why. For the better part of 70 years, Black people have been consistently told that our circumstances were because of the culture that we create. So yes, given that information, it absolutely does matter. Almost all mass shooters, almost all school shooters have been white men and now white boys. And we have not made a national emergency out of how white families raise their kids. The shooter, that child's name is Colt. It's a gun manufacturer.
So yeah, that was good. Any thoughts on that? What are your thoughts, Luke?
That's from the account Sunny Day Jones. Day as in D-A-E.
Oh, so that's, good looking.
Yeah, that's who was speaking in that clip. And I think that's a huge aspect of school shootings that isn't talked about.
Yeah.
That who predominantly are the shooters are white male students. And I think that does, you hear a lot, we need to address mental health after school shootings, or we need to reinforce doors after school shootings. Mm-hmm. And there's always a different suggestion of a policy outcome rather than addressing the root of the problem.
Exactly. And if you ever notice, no one ever says metal detectors in white schools.
No.
Even after the mass shooting, they never say, you should have metal detectors. And this is what I mean. Like, so even Black people regurgitate the narratives around Black people. And you want to know why we do that? Because we don't know what we don't know. We have no analysis of white supremacy. And then when Black people like me come around and say, hey, pick up a book. Let's read. Let's develop analysis so that you can teach yourself and your children and your family and your community how to navigate it. Knowledge is power, y'all. Reading is fundamental. I know we don't read a lot. We get most of our education through TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. And like she said, unlicensed motivation speakers that y'all like. And you'd be like, what such and such said. But we really need to build our analysis, y'all. So I'm going to encourage people known as Black to read. I'm going to encourage you to start with Dr. Amos Wilson and Carter G. Wilson and Dr. Frances Cress-Wessling. And I'm also going to encourage you to read Bell Hooks. She wrote so much about racism and feminism and masculinity and parenting. And the most important topic, in my opinion, that Bell Hooks wrote about is love and how Black people skills, tools to develop self-love in the midst of the self-hate, in the midst of the context of racism and anti-Blackness and the racism and the misogynoir. Like, read. Don't believe me. Pick up a book. Read Dr. Joyce DeGroy, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. Listen to their lectures. They have the degrees that y'all respect. Listen to people who have taken the time to do the research regarding Black people. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it's like the white privilege is just always pouring out of all of us, and the white narratives be pouring out of Black people. And the reason I have issues with people in local government often in leadership is when they regurgitate some of those narratives, when they do things that's opposite of what we really need. And if you want to know what Brandi Grayson thinks that people known as Black really need and vulnerable populations need, we need resources and we need the opportunity to do the work for ourselves. Because guess who knows best for what they need? Oh my God, the people that are living though in this matrix, the people with the lived experience, they know what they need to take care of their children. They know what they need to be well mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. They know what resources are needed. And the people who have not just survived but thrived in these environments know what it takes to get out of it. So those are the people you should pay. Those are the businesses you should invest in. Those are where we should put our resources, right? For us, by us, led by us, if that makes sense. Oh my God, am I talking about Urban Triage? Maybe. Go to urbantriage.org and donate to the people for the people. Remember, we hire the people we serve and then we develop them. And it's messy. It's a messy job. Nobody wants to do it. No one wants to put in the time and investment, but we will and we do. And the results are fantastic. It's amazing. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So I hope you took some notes on what privilege looks like in America and how white people can commit crimes and do acts, and it doesn't become a part of the whole group conversation. So when one Black person does something, it's those Black people. Somebody go out and kill and shoot somebody in our community or in our neighborhood, oh my God, Black people are unsafe. We need to do something about it. We need to do something about this DEI. And just to mention, I digress here on Black Conversion Show. When we talk about DEI, right, we always want to say, that we just putting people in positions that don't have the education or the experience. I just want to remind white people. Because of white privilege and anti-blackness, if a black person is put in a position, it's because they're an exceptional Negro, not because they're mediocre. Obama was an exceptional Negro, and not only was he an exceptional Negro, he was an exceptional human being. The brother walked with grace. He talked with grace. He had emotional intelligence nobody can compare. He articulated. He was intelligent. He was grounded. He was a manly man. Okay, I got a little excited about who Obama is, and I hope y'all do say we can vote for a third term, because we're going to vote Obama back into office, because we miss you. We miss you so bad. Okay, you're tuned in here to the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Return after break for some more tea.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, I feel like I'm in my 20s with that boom, 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 boom. I was about to get into it, okay, here on 92.7 FM on the Black Conversion Show with me, Brandi Grayson. And by the way, boom, 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 boom didn't mean I was going to do violence. I'm not going to get a gun. It's just the song. It's just the audio. And I enjoyed it. It had, you know, memories for me. So thank you for staying tuned. Prior to break, we were talking about white privilege. I want to go into a clip by a judge real quick. And this is what I mean about white people I rock with. Because some of y'all think I don't rock with white people, but I rock with white people. Some black people I don't rock with. So you don't even know me real life. But let me show you, listen to this clip. This is how this is what I think white people should be doing in their positions, and all people, not just white people, but it's more powerful to me when white people get it. Go ahead, Luke.
Hell of a thing. A judge gets upset, tosses out a charge against a black male for simply walking away. Here it is.
The reasonable suspicion we have is they begin to investigate what?
So
a criminal trespass.
They're called as a disturbance, and they saw him yelling, being aggressive. And then as he walked away, that's when they saw.
So the trespass investigation ceases because he's leaving. Yes or no?
It's not specified to be a trespass, Your Honor. It's specified just to be a disturbance.
That's what it is. Okay, but it's a trespass that they're investigating, a trespass, right? I mean, for all intents and purposes, isn't that what it is?
He attempted to leave, but once the officers arrived, so they would still need to investigate to determine if a trespass even occurred to determine. You know,
he's leaving. He's leaving, right? It's like, here, let me come and mess with you more.
That would only,
right? So it's like adding fuel to a fire. I'm going to find no probable cause.
Understand.
To Jones, be careful, man. We have enough drama in this life, don't we?
Yeah.
You don't like to wear orange, do you? Be careful where you go. Be careful what you do.
Yes,
everyone's always out to get you, man. Yes, don't let them.
Okay, you see how that judge got it? And I can't remember this judge's name, but he's doing this all the time, y'all. He is calling police on their bull crap. And he threw out the charges and then told the black man, they're out to get you. Like, that is understanding the context of our existence, right? And he's not afraid to say it. And he's not afraid to say it loudly. And let's just be real. If he was a black woman, y'all would feel some kind of way. Because he's a white man, we're like, yeah, let's do it. Okay, white judge. And even if he was a white woman, we would feel safer with him doing it. It's, even if he was a black man, we would feel safer with him doing it. It's something about when black women speak that get under y'all whole being. Anyway, so we're going to move on. Let's talk about local elections since we only got a couple minutes left. Can we talk about, oh my God, there was a district in which, what is her name? Her name is, oh my God, Nina Martinez Rutherford. I might be messing up her name, but she was in District 15. She stepped down and then she co-signed or supported Ryan Coakland for her seat. And guess what? She won the election anyway.
Yeah, Alder Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford.
Rutherford.
Representing the District 15 on the east side. She was on the ballot even though she dropped out of the race, and she won with 52% of the vote.
52%. So. She won.
She didn't want to win, but she won.
She didn't want to win. She was like, I got personal reasons. I'm done messing with y'all. And she's the first trans woman appointed to city council. So they still haven't heard what she's going to do. I don't even know what the process is for that. Another upset, of course, was the Supreme Court win for Sarah Crawford.
Susan.
Oops.
Yep, that's all good.
Susan Crawford. Shout out to you for winning. I had shared with my board earlier this week that I was torn a little bit. The whole thing about, like, you know, living in Madison and people, like, everybody's taking pictures, all the Black leaders, all the Black people taking pictures and posting her. Good job, Susan. And I am excited that she won over the guy that Elon and the maggots wanted to win. And also, my concern is that there's, because I'm so connected to the community, there are multiple Black men and Black boys that I know that had her as a judge, and she threw the book at them. First charges, first incidents, and she drug them in the mud. And they're still recovering, because when you have charges that, you know, that there's no leniency given, or you didn't show up like the other white judge that we just heard, it can destroy people and destroy families. And I did communicate with my board about feeling some kind of way. And so, Susan Crawford, congratulations, and I hope that you are being more accountable to how anti-Blackness and racism shows up, because it's just in all of us, okay? I just wanted to say that. Also, Carmella, for the win in North District, she was running against in the district that, what is that dude name that was charged with sexual assault and abuse? What is his name?
Is it Charles Mendazi?
Yeah, I believe District 18.
Yeah, it's Mendazi, I believe, is the last name, but I don't.
Madudu is what I call them. But she won in the district. So shout out to you. And she is Black, biracial Black. And it's always exciting to have new persons and new representatives. She's also works for Dane County Public Health. So she's been in social justice and equity. Shout out to you, sis. I'm glad that you won. It was a landscape, 73% to 25%. And Anthony, there it is. Anthony Nino Amato, one of my biggest haters. That was a close race. It was 49.8% and 49.7%. So I don't think they're going to call it yet. Do you know how that works?
I those are the unofficial vote totals. Uh-huh. I know that there's a canvass that takes place now throughout the following days. I think there's about a week or two limit that all of the city clerks kind of
come together,
check all the ballots, make sure that everything's set, and then there's a official ratifying of the vote that comes in a few days. And so I think they're just making sure the numbers are set before they do any official calls.
Okay, well, that's that. I hope he loses. Anyway, that's just poor me. And I am in Sun Prairie, so I don't get to vote in the city of Madison, but I get to have opinions about it. That's for sure. District 12, Amani Burris has lost. Amani is a Black woman. You guys may know her mother, Malele. She was a huge Black leader here in Dane County area. She ran the Umoja magazine for decades. She's the one who started the Black Chamber of Commerce. Her mother did. And Amani wasn't as Black as her mother in terms of her votes and stances. Her mama played no games. She was the first person I met in Madison that would tell Black white people, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not. She was just really, she didn't care. She always sent to Black people, and I loved her, and I respect her. But Amani lost, so too bad for you, Amani. So anyway, there's been some upsets. Nikki lost. Coughlin lost her race. I'm sorry, boo. I'm really sorry, because you should have won. Sending nothing but love for you. I know what it feels like to lose a race. It feels really like rejection. But we love you. We appreciate you. We see you. And this is the Black Conversion Show. I don't have time to talk about everything I wanted to talk about. But pretty soon, right, Luke, we're going to move to 2 hours. When are we going to do that?
We're working on it. I'm trying to pin down the date.
Okay, so it's Luke, coming soon. My people want to hear.
I know.
hear me. Okay. They want to hear more of all of this beautiful blackness and unapologetically blackness that I give off. Okay. Don't forget, we have the Black Brilliance Gala coming May 31st. Find your ticket at urbantriage.org. It is going down. Today, next week, April 11th, we'll have energy assistance at Urban Triage, 2312 South Park Street, providing resources before electricity gets cut off. Y'all, come and get your bills paid before you be sitting in the dark, okay? Join us here next week on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM, WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest, with the politics and the tea. See you soon.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin will join us.
And I saved my garden by killing the Easter Bunny. Finally.
Details Monday.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Buying a home is kind of like eating pistachios. Some are easy to open, some take a little work, and every once in a while, you get a tough one that makes you question your life choices. That's where we come in. At Aaron Weber Group, we crack open the market and find you the perfect home. Whether you're looking for a cozy starter home or a mansion with a snack pantry big enough for a lifetime supply of pistachios, we've got you covered. Call Aaron Weber Group at Powered by Compass today. We'll help you find a home that's nothing but perfect.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An emergency ruling from the Supreme Court this morning goes against the Trump administration. ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
Ruling on an emergency appeal from the ACLU, putting pause on the deportation of Venezuelan migrants held in Texas under the Alien Enemies Act. That's a centuries-old wartime law that provides little to no due process.
A week after round one, reps from Iran and the U.S. met for 4 hours of more talks on Iran's nuclear program in Rome today. A ceremony in Oklahoma City 30 years after the domestic terrorist bombing of the federal building. Then-President Bill Clinton on hand today saying many people came to help.
I still run into people all across this country traveling around who tell me they went to Oklahoma City and how grateful they are after all this time that they had the chance to do it.
Bombing killed 168 people. This is ABC News. The New York